Lord, we pray this evening for Michael. May you bring the words that you wish us to hear, that they might sit in our hearts, and that we may ponder on them in the knowledge that you love us and care for us deeply. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening. It's been a while. As some of you may know, this is traditionally known as Low Sunday, after all the festivities around Easter Day. And actually, following the death of Prince Philip, this may seem appropriate. And we extend our prayers and thoughts to all of the royal family. It is also another blow on top of what has been an exceptionally low year for many people. But I do, however, want to try and look on a more positive side. Think of the joyous time last week, having been able to open our doors for the first time and see people again face to face. It was very special for me to be able to run my fitness classes outdoors and see people's faces, although the weather has not been the kindest. Families have started to see each other again, albeit in small numbers, but still, it's positive. And tomorrow, I shall at last be able to return to work and get a haircut. Having said this, I am sure we all have some worries and fears about coming out of lockdown and how things are going to feel. I admit to overthinking, probably, how things are going to run in the gym tomorrow morning. And I would imagine the disciples had a similar mixture of feelings after Easter Day. And this leads us nicely into today's reading. In our reading from John, we hear how the disciples are hiding away in fear. And later we hear about Thomas and his questioning of Jesus. So in the first half of our reading today, Jesus enters the room with the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and feet. He repeats these words and breathes the Holy Spirit on them to send them out to do his work. The other Gospels tell this story in a similar way. And I wonder how that made them feel. Imagine, if you will, that you're in an interview for a job. When the interview panel come in, they offer you the role above the one you applied for. Your reaction? Possibly, I certainly couldn't do that role. Perhaps the disciples felt the same when Jesus breathed on them. But Jesus obviously thinks the disciples can do the job. And in fact, it's more of a command than a request. Receiving the Holy Spirit by Jesus breathing on them, they are to go out into the world and continue his work, the work the Father gave to Jesus. It may not mean to do exactly as Jesus did, but to tell people about Jesus and to spread his good news. And this is the same for us. We may not be able to replicate Jesus and his miracles, although it is possible, as with the laying on of hands in the healing ministry. But by receiving the breath of the Holy Spirit, we can spread his love into our community here in Letchworth. One of the side effects of my run-in with COVID-19 was my breathlessness. I struggled with my breathing for some time after, and I actually had to learn again how to breathe normally. This is like our faith, in that we have to keep asking for Jesus to breathe his Holy Spirit on us and relearn how to breathe and live in God's love. As lockdown gradually eases, how can we, with the Holy Spirit, go and breathe love into our community? It may be harder than we imagined, but Jesus knows we're up for the job. One of my favourite songs is In Christ Alone, and I find that the first verse really says something to me about relearning my faith. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Now, how about Doubting Thomas, as he is often referred to? I would imagine he's not dissimilar to many of us. We often question things and argue our points of view. And actually, it's okay to ask questions. Our Alpha courses and our home groups offer a place where we can be relaxed and ask away. We as a church community grow together as we ask and relearn to breathe with Jesus. In one of the many TV interviews on Friday, the previous Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, was asked about Prince Philip's faith, and the bishop responded by saying the prince had a very firm faith, but he always loved to ask questions after he had preached. Thomas was absent when the risen Jesus first appeared to the disciples. As a pessimist, he probably withdrew into his own pain and grief. Something totally understandable, and I can certainly resonate with these feelings during lockdown. I hold my hands up and admit that I withdrew into my little world at home, and I often miss church live stream services. The problem with this is that I withdrew at a time when I needed church the most. Thomas, although a pessimist, was loyal, who was ready to go with Jesus to die. Despite his scepticism, he is still there. Again, the doors are locked, but Jesus again comes and stands with them, and the same gift is offered. Peace be with you. Jesus knows about our questions and our doubts, and Thomas needed the physical evidence as the way to his new life. We all have different ways to faith, and we may be more like the disciple who believes at the empty grave, or Mary when Jesus calls her name, or the other disciples when he appears in the room, or maybe we're like Thomas. I'm going to finish today by a reflection based on today's John reading, and it's called What Thomas Wants. Thomas knows all about crucifixion, knows the nails driven into the victim really tear the flesh and damage the bones. And he knows that this is a crucifying world with all its violence, greed and oppression, still hammering nails into the hands of justice, still thrusting spears through the ribs of love, still hanging mercy and kindness to die and sealing up the tomb. Thomas knows all about it, so he knows that any real resurrection will have to come out of ruin, will have to come out of suffering. We'll have to come out still bearing the scars inflicted by the unjust world. Ask him not if he believes in a God merely greater than suffering or death. Any God worth the title would surely prove immortal, who may be able to pretend our pain, but could never share it in truth. No, what Thomas wants to see is the Lord who rises from death by crucifixion, who rises from the worst that our world can do, who rises from hells of corruption and cruelty, who rises from violence and terror and hate, who rises from rape and torture and war, who rises from hunger and disease and squalor, who rises torn and terribly scarred, yet walking among us still. Who will touch us in our woundedness? Who will hold us in our brokenness? Who sees in us the print left by the nails? Who puts his own hurt hand upon our heartache, fear and despair, and breathes his healing peace into our souls? This is who Thomas wants to see, the only Lord he wants to believe in. Thomas just wants to see Jesus. Let us pray. Imagine you are in the room when Jesus appears. What do you want to see, hear, touch, or ask? What is your reaction? Are you like Peter, Mary, Thomas, or are you the unnamed disciple? Risen Lord Jesus, breathe your peace on us now and send us out in your power of your Spirit. Amen.